Lead Them Not Into Temptation, President N. Eldon Tanner, N. Eldon Tanner, Conference Report, April 1968, pages 108-113. 135 years ago, a prophet of God gave us a revelation that still applies to every man, woman, and child today, and that we should heed, a word of wisdom, given for a principle with promise, adapted to the capacity of the weak and the weakest of all saints, who are or can be called saints. Behold, verily, thus saith the Lord unto you, in consequence of evils and designs which do and will exist in the hearts of conspiring men in the last days, I have warned you, and forewarn you, by giving unto you this word of wisdom by revelation. Among other things, he warns against the use of tobacco and strong drinks, and then he gives us this promise, and all saints who remember to keep and do these sayings, walking in obedience to the commandments, shall receive health in their navel and marrow to their bones, and shall find wisdom and great treasures of knowledge, even hidden treasures, and shall run and not be weary, and shall walk and not faint. And I, the Lord, give unto them a promise, that the destroying angel shall pass by them, as the children of Israel, and not slay them. We, as members of the church, have considered the word of wisdom as a direction from the Lord himself, with a warning and a promise. Today the whole world, with the scientific evidence now available to everyone, should, regardless of religion or race, observe this scientific warning. Evils of alcohol, drugs and tobacco. We read daily in newspapers and magazines such startling headlines as, cigarette blamed in apartment fire and death, youth drug craze rises, ending in despair, 300 pilot deaths laid to alcohol. These point up clearly the dangers of tobacco, drugs, and alcohol. Because of these great dangers, because of my own experiences and observations, and because of the real concern we have for our youth, who will determine the future of this great country and the world, I have chosen to discuss the evils of alcohol, drugs, and tobacco. Before doing so, however, I should like to make it abundantly clear that throughout my life some of my close business associates have been men who used tobacco and alcohol. Many of them were very able and successful in business. They were community-minded and highly regarded, and I certainly do not wish to criticize or question the character of these or other users of tobacco and alcohol. I do most emphatically register my great concern about the dangers connected with their use. Many men have said, I wish I had never touched the weed, or drink. They are really a curse. Dangers of tobacco. So much has been said lately about the dangers of tobacco that it might seem redundant for me to spend time reviewing these dangers and statistics regarding smoking. However, I do wish to give a few facts and figures regarding the evils of cigarettes. The British Royal College of Physicians reported that 400 Britons per week, or 20,000 persons, died last year in Great Britain from lung cancer caused by cigarette smoking. Right here in Utah, it is estimated that $20 million were spent in 1966 for cigarettes, or $21.68 for every man, woman, and child in the state, and this is below the national average. The American Public Health Association has stated that 1 million school-aged children today are expected to die of lung cancer before they reach the age of 70. These startling predictions should help us to realize that we must redouble our efforts to educate young people on the evil effects of smoking so that they will be better prepared to cope with this problem. Having had a very close friend and relative die of lung cancer caused by smoking cigarettes, I feel a strong desire and determination to do what I can to save other youth from this heinous habit. There is a big question as to how effective any such campaign will be when our youth are continually confronted with adults, including many in the teaching and medical professions, as well as their parents, going around with cigarettes in their mouths. Case of drug addict. Now, turning our attention to drugs, I wish to share with you just two of my experiences since the October conference. Just before conference, a bishop called me from California to make an appointment to bring in a young man from his ward who was involved with hippies. He felt I might be able to help him. They came in just after conference. His long hair, dress, and general appearance left no doubt that he was a hippie. I asked him to tell me his story. Briefly, this is what he said. I am a return missionary, a married man, and I have a child, and here I am, a hippie, a drug addict, and I am guilty of many misdemeanors and even felonies. I am most unhappy. This is not what I want. I asked him how it was that a man with his background ever got mixed up with these people. He said that one day when he was feeling despondent and discouraged, he decided that he wanted to be free, that he did not want to be bound by any traditions or church restrictions in any way. He went out with some of these fellows in a spirit of rebellion, and then he said, here I am, instead of being free, I'm a slave. In a way, I am a fugitive. I wish you could help me. I just don't know what to do. Before he left, he assured me that he would cut his hair and clean up and break away from these people, and that he would turn himself over to the law and do all he could to repent and live as he should. The following is from a letter written by him and dated March 22, 1968. Dear President Tanner, I pray that you will know the true feelings of my heart at this time. I now live my life inside prison walls. It is my desire that others do not fall into the hands of Satan, as I did. If relating my experiences to other young people like myself can be of some worth in their lives, this is my hope. I'm thankful that I was blessed with a bishop who has been my closest friend through all my trials. I'm grateful for your interest. President Tanner, the reason I use this young man as an example is that his background should have given him the strength to resist or overcome, and it shows how dangerous it is for a man like him, let alone a youth who has no such ties or responsibilities, to even associate with those who tamper with drugs. His was a very sad case, and it touched my heart. Experience of young woman. The next case I wish to share with you is similar to hundreds and hundreds of others. I have talked to the girl involved and to her parents, and though they know that many might recognize them as the ones about whom I am talking, they said if it will help someone they would be glad to have me use their story. She comes from a very fine family. The father is a successful doctor, and the family has been active in the church and in the community. They have one son who has filled a mission, and another in the field now. They have an older daughter who is very highly regarded, active in the church, and who was married in the temple. The girl about whom I am speaking is a fine, bright young girl, but she started chasing around with other girls and boys, some of whom were using cigarettes, alcohol, and drugs, and rather than be considered a square, she began to indulge, finding it easier than resisting the pressure. In fact, she had no fear that she would ever become an addict. Through a lack of communication and failing to stay close to their daughter, and under the false assumption that all was well, her parents were not aware of her actions until they finally learned, to their great horror and sorrow, that she was using tobacco, alcohol, and drugs. Of course, they were heartbroken, and terribly embarrassed, as they realized there was nothing they could do but place her in an institution where they felt she could best be helped. She is there today, but through determination and a real struggle and with the help of the institution, she has progressed to the point where she can come home weekends and be with her parents. As I talk to her, her big concern, and the concern of her parents, is what she will do when she is released. Will she be free and feel secure? How will people accept her? She does feel determined and sure, and we hope she is right, that she will be completely cured. When I asked her if she would have the courage and strength to keep free of her former associates, she assured me she could, and sorrowfully said that several of them are either in institutions or prison. She also told me of some very sad cases in the institution. One, a 19-year-old boy, who is entirely helpless. We read also of others threatening and committing suicide. Such experiences should help parents and youth to understand the problems and great dangers confronting them. Parents, be alert and on guard. One of these could be your own son or daughter. The alcohol problem. Now I should like to direct our thinking to the alcohol problem, which is so serious wherever we turn. May I tell you as accurately as I can the story told me by a man whom I knew very well. He used to be one of the most successful oil well drillers in the province of Alberta, a man who was well respected, highly regarded, and a good citizen, but who, as many others, through social drinking, became an alcoholic. He was one of the fortunate ones who, with the help of Alcoholics Anonymous and, as he said, with the help of the Lord, was able to overcome this dread disease. One day, as I invited him to speak to a group of young people, his quick response was, "If I can help any youth to understand the evil of alcohol and what it will do to him, I am anxious to do it." This was his story. When I was in business, I used to drink with the boys at cocktail parties and at receptions, never thinking it was doing me any harm. In fact, I never worried about it at all, even when I found myself taking a third or fourth drink, and wanting a drink during the day when I knew I should not be drinking. I had no idea that I was really becoming an alcoholic. I refused to accept the fact until I found myself literally in the gutter. The result was that my partner, my business associates, and all who knew me and even my wife and family found that they could not depend on me, and lost respect for me. As a result, I lost my wife. After pleading and working with me, she divorced me, and I found that I was alone. I had lost respect for myself, and had lost my home, family, and everything. When I found myself in the gutter, helpless and alone, I was persuaded to go to Alcoholics Anonymous. With their help and my determination, I was able to overcome the habit after months and months of severe struggle. Then he pointed out that only about 1 out of 5 is able to overcome this pernicious habit. As he concluded, he said, "No man knows when he takes a single drink whether or not he will become an alcoholic. Therefore, no man, regardless of his wealth or his position, can afford to take one single drink of liquor." He pled with every one of them not to touch it, and then emphasized that 1 out of every 15 who drink will become an alcoholic, and often the brightest and most capable one, who least expects it, is the unfortunate one. Tragedy from drinking. Now here is another story I tell with the permission of the parents, who likewise expressed a real desire to do everything they can to help other youth to avert a tragedy such as that which happened to their son. In a file they handed me was a newspaper clipping, written before his tragedy, showing the picture of a fine-looking young lad, who had just been elected president of the junior class in high school. The article said, "Wherever activity is bubbling or leadership is needed, that's where you'll find Jim, as a leading figure in school plays, student government, and class activities. His leadership abilities have always been outstanding." Here was a boy with the promise of a happy and successful life, but one night, he did not come home as usual after closing up a service station where he worked. His worried parents started a search, which ended in the early morning hours with the father finding his son's beaten and bruised body in the back seat of a parked car. He had been dead for some time. Just imagine the shock and sorrow of his parents. At the inquest, the broken-hearted parents learned that Jim had joined a couple of the hometown boys and a couple from a neighboring town. After they had purchased and consumed liquor, a fight ensued between the local boys and the out-of-towners. Apparently someone knocked Jim down, ran into him with the car, and then placed his body in the back seat of the car where it was later found. The parents also learned that this was only the third time he had ever been drinking. He never dreamed that taking his first drink would lead to his untimely death. Widespread use of liquor. We could talk on and give statistics, facts, and figures to show that experiences similar to those I have related are happening by the hundreds and thousands. It is estimated that 60% of our adult population in the United States today consumes some quantity of liquor. There are some outstanding executives, business and professional men, who are very successful and highly regarded, and for whom I have great respect, who indulge in the use of liquor in some degree. I know too that their using alcohol will influence many of our youth to become social drinkers. It saddens me, however, to know that out of every 15 of them, one will become an alcoholic. One's heart always goes out to a neighbor or a friend and his family who have to endure the miseries of alcoholism. I am convinced that our youth do not want to be bad. They do not set out to be alcoholics, nor to be drug addicts, nor to suffer and die with cancer of the lungs or some other pulmonary disease. However, they see people drinking all around them, men and women who are leading citizens. They see it in their homes with no evident ill effects. They see it advertised in all the popular magazines, in the daily press, on every television set, in many movies, and on the billboards, and they hear it over radio. Yes, and these advertisements are shown with well-dressed, healthy-looking, successful businessmen, with big cars and fine offices, with young men and women engaged in all kinds of sports, attending socials where people are standing around with a cigarette in one hand and a glass in the other, all seeming to have a good time. How can our youth resist without our help? These high-power advertising media never show a man or woman nursing a bad headache the morning after, nor do they show the crumpled cars, the mangled bodies, or the broken homes, or men lying in the gutter. Nor do they show a man facing a doctor who has just told him that he has cancer of the throat or lungs, or patients in a hospital being fed with a tube through the nostril because they cannot swallow. I am sure that many will say, "Why all this gory stuff?" No, I have omitted much of the gory stuff, the many, many really sad and heartbreaking experiences happening to families every day. We must face the facts, we must do our part. Avoidance of alcoholism. I have read with interest Dr. William Terhune's 10 Commandments on how to lessen the chance that we will become alcoholics. The last two of them are, never take a drink to escape discomfort, either physical or mental, and never take a drink in the morning, thinking it will offset a hangover. I should like to submit one commandment as a substitute for his 10, which would be much more effective, and that is, never take a drink. Alcoholism is one disease which no one needs to have. The only sure way to be free of it is to never take a drink. Keep the word of wisdom. On behalf of the First Presidency, and with their approval, I appeal to every member of the Church to keep the word of wisdom strictly, and to all responsible citizens to accept their responsibilities. to guard and protect our youth against the evils and designs of conspiring men who are determined by every available means to lead them to destruction. We cannot stand by and let our youth be destroyed because of our neglect. We must lead them not into temptation, but deliver them from evil. Protection of youth. There are those who argue that in the interests of tourism, liquor should be made more easily available. Surely every mother, father, and worthy citizen can see the folly of this and what it would do to our youth. We must not sell our heritage for a mess of pottage. There are better ways to encourage tourists. I cannot imagine any father or neighbor wanting to contribute in any way to his or his neighbor's boys becoming an alcoholic in order to get tourists into our area. Example is the greatest of all teachers. In the interests of our youth, I pray that we may all heed the warning of the Lord that alcohol is not good for man. We must take a stand against liquor by the drink and any and every other move that would make liquor more easily available. It is the responsibility of every citizen and in the best interests of our youth and our future to see that enforceable restrictive legislation is enacted and enforced to keep our youth from this pernicious practice. Testimony. It is my testimony to all that those who eat the words of the Lord spoken through a prophet, and who keep his commandments, shall find wisdom and great treasures of knowledge, even hidden treasures, and shall run and not be weary, and shall walk and not faint, and the Lord has promised that the destroying angel shall pass by them, as the children of Israel, and not slay them. With the testimony I have that God lives and that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior of us all, and that they are interested in our welfare, I humbly pray that the Spirit and blessings of the Lord will help us to do all in our power to protect our youth against the evils and designs that do and will exist in the hearts of conspiring men, that we may lead them not into temptation but deliver them from evil. For His is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.